being a guy named Mark Wood, who was also building some of the very first six-string electric violins. And we were the only guys playing them, basically. We built some together, and we had our own rock bands, and we were trying to invent how to play rock on the violin, because we both had this, you know, very clear sort of mission, which was, you know, to be rock stars, basically, to play on electric violin and have people respond to it like they responded to, you know, electric guitar rock stars. That was our dream. Apart from that, I had read a book at Juilliard that I still own, that I borrowed from the Juilliard Library and never returned, called The Agony of Modern Music. And it was sort of making this point that all the music in the past was not agony, even though it was modern. And yes, people were pushing the envelope a little bit here and there. But for the most part, everything that Mozart wrote was in the style of the day. And everything that Tchaikovsky wrote was in the style of the day. And I thought, well, if Tchaikovsky were around today, he probably wouldn't write a violin concerto. He'd write an electric guitar concerto, and he'd probably be Jimi Hendrix. And to me, it was pretty clear that anybody who was a serious composer and an interpreter on an instrument needed to live in the present in their own time and place and not be playing music that was several hundred years old, as wonderful as that is.
And then it seems as though somewhere along the way, things kind of headed back your way with Adams, with the Turtle Island String Quartet, where it seems as though you were going in a direction and some other folks seemed to be coming at you in another direction, and the result was something new?
I kind of went full circle because, you know, I started in the classical world and veered off into rock and then jazz with Turtle Island and then, you know, Indian music with Terry Riley, and then happened to bump into John Adams, who was looking for somebody who could play with classical legit chops, but who sounded rocky and jazzy and Indian for this particular piece. So, you know, it was one of those very well-timed, you know, fateful moments, but happened to be in the right time, the right place, and then ended up full circle back on the concert stage, you know, with orchestras playing an electric violin concerto. So my parents were very gratified that, you know, I'd finally gotten my way back to the classical world.
The Strumbowing Method, what sets it apart from all those many, many others that have been written right up to today?
You know, it's a funny thing. It's not hard to strum a guitar. You can go to your first guitar lesson and not even know how to play a chord, but you know how to strum it. It's just not the way strings are ever taught. And that's because we are not traditionally not rhythm chordal instruments like a guitar or a piano is. But I spent a lot of time working with the instrument as a chordal rhythm instrument in rock bands and things like that. And in order to play chords, I realized after doing it for many years that I was doing something with my hand that was basically like strumming a guitar with my bow. Is not what they teach you at Juilliard. It's just a very simple concept. Your hand never stops moving down, up, down, up, down, up, no matter what the rhythm is. You know, the common thread in all grooves is the subdivision of the beat. And string players don't ever play it. They're not used to playing the strum. So I kind of realized that one day, and I was like, this is the way to teach all of this stuff, all of those different kind of ways of playing rhythm that fiddle players have been doing, actually, for many years. But classical players are really not aware of how to use your instrument as a rhythm instrument, something that people can dance to.
So in a way, this method is set up so that someone could maybe more naturally go into that eclectic style.
Exactly.
You did what you did and opened some doors for some folks that meant kind of putting your shoulder to them yourself, but now it seems like a lot more doors are open. Do you have any words of wisdom to the next generation?
I like to tell kids when I'm working with young players, you know, we're better musicians when we know and love a lot of different kinds of music that makes us better players, just as we're better people when we know and love a lot of different kind of people. And that's a good thing. You know, that's not a bad thing that you love classical music and you also love Hendrix and you also love Miles Davis. What I would like to say is that it's so wonderful the work that the Rammies are doing and supporting, which is all of this education and scholarships for students, because it's the young people who are going to carry this ball down the field. This mission of post-classical string playing, of teaching string players how to rejoin their own contemporary musical culture, is something that kids are very open to and want to learn how to do. And it's very natural for them to want to play the music that they hear all around them. And supporting kids is very central to, you know, what I do in my career, what I believe in. So it's totally wonderful to see organizations that are making scholarships available and making it easier for kids to stay on their instruments, get better instruments, afford better teachers. My hat's off to them.